see that the predominant groups that refer to themselves as Jewish are the Ashkenazi and the Sephardi. Neither one of those tie directly back to Shem. This is not casting aspersions by any means. It's just trying to straighten out these mysterious crooked parts that have been fed to us as a way of throwing us off the trail. Aha. Oh, I guess we went right through the break.
You and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody. We've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yup.
You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job.
Welcome back. I don't know if I was talking to myself there or what, but so we went through the break. Now, top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, January 9th, 2023. Didn't do the announcements in the first hour. Maybe we should do that real quick. We're having a book drive. It didn't end yesterday. It's continuing until Thursday. January 12th. Now through January 12th. Donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stabmiller himself. That book is Callous Disregard, Autism and Vaccines, The Truth Behind a Tragedy, published in 2010, authored by Andrew Wakefield, forward by Jenny McCarthy. You know, and again, it's interesting. We're told certain things 100 years ago. The general consensus in the medical establishment, if I could say that, you know, before the Flexner report, which even NPR reminded us and celebrated. Remember the Flexner report? Where is that? NPR. It's been 100 years. How wonderful. The Flexner Report and Medical Education, January 18, 2010. Robert Siegel talks to Paul Starr of Princeton University about the Abraham Flexner Report, which critiqued American medical training. This is the centennial year of that report, 2010. So they talk about it. So before this, you know, synthesizing of all of these efforts, this was a lot of this was quackery, considered quackery and witch doctor voodoo kind of stuff. And then, you know, again, fast forward to World War II and you get all of the history that the inconvenient history that was just mentioned in the first hour of today's broadcast. And so, I mean, this is a direct tie to the book Callous Disregard, Autism and Vaccines. These things that we've been told are a good thing. Anyway, 100 years ago, there was, you know, generally in the medical establishment, if we could say that, intelligent doctors would tell you that vaccines were not a good thing. The reason that we were healthier was not because of these injections of cow pus, but because of sanitation. And to an extent, personal hygiene, but definitely sanitation. Public sanitation was number one. We didn't have, you know, garbage in the streets and animals running here and there doing crazy things. And if I could be indiscreet for a moment, you know, fecal matter everywhere. That was number one in public health. Why suddenly we're doing better. There isn't that kind of stuff everywhere. You know, and the pets rolling around and these kinds of things and parading them through the house and so on. So we got sanitation and hygiene. That's what was responsible for making us healthier by and large. And doctors would say that 100 years ago. There's a book. What is the title of that book? That, you know, there are a few of these, but this one has collections of these quotes. Let me see. A Century of Vaccination and What It Teaches. That's the one. Yeah, so what's happened just in the last 10 years? Remember, I mean, how many shows have I done on the 2009 H1N1 nonsense, the shenanigans? Here's the press briefing, Robert Gibbs, White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs, 4/30/09. This was before May. He says, you know, he's asked, considering that, when we play this clip, you know, considering that one member of the advanced team, Stephen Chu, Energy Secretary, one of his aides, you know, apparently got sick on a trip to Mexico. So the question was, well, considering that one member of the advanced team has turned up to, you know, has developed symptoms, blah, 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 to make sure that the president is completely, I mean, we have to think of the president's safety. And Robert Gibbs responded, well, again, let's understand that we are now almost twice the limit removed from a symptomatic window that one would see for incubation. So anybody, I guess Robert Gibbs missed the memo in this press briefing. So he says, anybody that went on that trip, it's highly, 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 he said highly three times, and that's what always sticks in my mind. You can see it in the press briefing, obamawhitehouse.archives.gov. It is highly, highly, highly unlikely that, I think we're now 13 days ago this morning, the team left Mexico, again, in excess of almost twice the limit on the window. If you haven't felt any symptoms, there's no need to test you. That's what Robert Gibbs said. And we've, speaking of liminality meets reification, how many movies? Remember when Netflix launched a series, pandemic series, right at the moment that we started hearing about the COVID shenanigans? So you got Crimson Contagion the summer before that. You have Event 201, the fall before that. And we start hearing about China. And then, you know, suddenly we're terrified. And we, you know, you have guys from, you know, chief scientist, J&J chief scientist, Paul Stoffel, I think, on, you know, NBC and other places late January of 2020, saying, yeah, no, I think we can make a vaccine for this. Wait a minute. We had heard of patient zero right around that time, within a week of him saying, yeah, I think we can make a vaccine for this. Why would you even talk about investing billions of dollars, is what they were talking about, immediately, right out of the gates? Maybe because they had, you know, the setup all ready to go, and Event 201 and Crimson Contagion and so on. Places, everyone. So then we get all of these television shows, and we'd had them already. Contagion, Outbreak, all of these movies and TV shows. I Am Legend. In the post 9/11 era, it started right out of the gates. Whitney Webb has been telling us for quite some time now. You know, from FBI Thrax on forward, Robert Cadleck and friends trying to break down our defenses and keep using these television shows and movies in a process of you know, this cycle of liminality and reification, where you're constantly processed into this new reality of, ah, you got to be terrified. You know, I mentioned that scenario on Friday of, I remember telling the story, DHS picked up on it. When I was watching the, you know, the DHS news feed, basically, Homeland Security news feed, almost 15 years ago. This was like 2007, 2008. And there was the DHS story about the lady who took a milk crate of books to the library, and it was rainy out or potentially rainy, and she put a brown paper bag around the books so they wouldn't get wet, set it on the step of the school, and somebody called the bomb squad. And that, you know, I mean, Alan Watt, speaking of Alan Watt in the clip that we played in the first hour of Alan Watt saying, you know, got this friend, CIA guy, friend of, you know, however the story goes, you know, brother, you know, friend's brother or whatever, works for the CIA, did, does, once agency, once company, always company. And he won't talk about it. He just says, don't watch the television. So, you know, he used to talk about movie, Terry Gilliam's movie, Brazil, starring Robert De Niro. You know, and Alan Watt used to laugh when you talk about it. Guys rappelling out of the ceiling, you know, Robert De Niro and these guys in black, and it was a joke. Ha ha, so funny. Wikipedia describes Brazil, 1985 film, thusly. Jack Matthews, film critic, described the film as satirizing the bureaucratic, largely dysfunctional industrial world that had been driving Gilliam crazy all his life. Despite its title, the film is not about the country Brazil, nor does it take place there. It is named after the recurrent theme song, Ari Barroso's A Querela do Brasil, known simply as Brazil to British audiences. So backing up a little bit, the film centers on Sam Lowry, a low-ranking bureaucrat, trying to find a woman who appears in his dreams while he is working in a mind-numbing job and living in a small apartment set in a dystopian world in which there is an over-reliance on poorly maintained and rather whimsical machines. Brazil's satire of technocracy, bureaucracy, hyper-surveillance, corporatism, and state capitalism is reminiscent of George Orwell's 1949 novel, 1984, and has been called Kafkaesque and absurdist. There is an element of Dadaism in there. Again, that's part of the liminality meets reification. That's part of the process and processing of you and I. But none of this is by accident. Is it a coincidence that we see it everywhere? That's a coincidence, right? I've mentioned this before, but from the afterword, George Orwell, 1984, Signet classic, afterword. George Orwell's 1984 is expression of a mood, and it is a warning. The mood it expresses is that of near despair about the future. You know, the first place, how did Sun Tzu put it? The first place that you got to win the battle is in the mind, right? You got to win the battle between the ears first. So, from the afterword, the mood it expresses is that of near despair about the future of man. and the warning. You know, how is all of this happening? We have all of these books, all of these, you know, you go back to Metropolis, for example, that is a depiction of this. And how does something like that get made? Massive undertaking. In the early days of film. The mood it expresses is that of near despair about the future of man. History changes, men all over the world will lose their most human qualities, will become soulless automatons, and will not even be aware of it. One of the things that I've tried to emphasize recently, last week in particular, and this is, you know, terrible. I mean, we just came out of the holiday season. We're supposed to be saying it's going to be a great year, but there is the reality. You know, belief is important to that, which is why I emphasize that going through the holidays, trying to, you know, the constant, the unending attempts to hijack your belief and then direct it to somewhere. I'm not trying to terrify people, but there is a reality to the fact that there are folks in our midst who tell us one thing. They give us a sales pitch, but they do not have our best interest in mind when they're pitching. And there is a persistent naivete that has us victimizing ourselves and one another. And we ought not be submitting ourselves to that. We shouldn't be subjecting our children to trauma-based mind control and psychological torture. This is evil. You know? Dare I say, when you watch your child get a, I don't know, the vaccines from an early age, you watch your child be stuck with something and then they shriek in horror. Maybe there's a reason why we feel like bad parents when that happens. Well, I don't want them to get smallpox or whooping cough or, yeah. There's a reason that, you know, the term, the operative term is not anti-vaxxer, it's post-vaxxer. So men all over the world will lose their most human qualities, will become soulless automatons, and will not even be aware of it. Oh, that's crazy talk. Skipping forward in the afterword, skipping ahead, see if I can find it. All kinds of folks mentioned from well, Evgeny Zamyatin's We, Huxley's Brave New World, and obviously Orwell's 1984, which is the subject of the book. It is the book. Another important aspect of is Orwell's description of the nature of truth, which on the surface is a picture of Stalin's treatment of truth, especially in the 30s. But anyone who sees in Orwell's description only another denunciation of Stalinism is missing an essential element of Orwell's analysis. He is actually talking about a development which is taking place in the Western industrial countries also, only at a slower pace than it is taking place in Russia and China. And what did Bill Gates say recently? You know, we've played that clip a few times of him saying, you know, absent some kind of massive control. Maybe we'll play that clip too. I don't know if we can get all of these in. I got to get to some of them. What did he say? Whatever the collective, whatever problem is completely unsolvable. And at least in his opinion, we just have to obey. We all have to obey who? Elected officials? No. He means himself. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around, and be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
My friend, is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, on using me until you use me up, until you use me up. My brother sit me right down and he talked to me.
Welcome back. Brief excerpt, then we'll go to the clips in the next segment. From the afterword of the Signet Classics edition of 1984, Orwell is not alone. Well, okay, so most people, however, are not consciously aware of the of this threat and of their own hopelessness. Some believe that just because modern warfare is so destructive, war is impossible. Others declare that even if 60 or 70 million, I mean, think about how we've been terrorized. Speaking of liminality and reification, you know, in the Cold War, immediately following World War II, what were students, school students, subjected to? Hide under your desk. That's how you save yourself from a nuclear blast. It's absurd. Utterly absurd. You know, why don't we do that anymore? Maybe the same reason we don't go to the moon anymore. It's expensive. Yeah. So, you know, we're hearing that, you know, the reemergence of the Cold War, the redo. It could be, you know, maybe it's a threat again. No, we're on to other threats. More immediate and pervasive invisible enemies. Like Omicron. Dun, dun, dun. Is that a transformer or is that, what is that? Others declare that even if 60 or 70 million Americans were killed in the first 1 or 2 days of a nuclear war, there's no reason to believe that life would not go back, life would not go on as before after the first shock has been overcome. It's precisely the significance of Orwell's book that expresses the new mood of hopelessness. And you know, again, this is something that is echoed in, for example, Adam Curtis's that short, you know, that we play clips from time to time, or the whole thing actually. 2014 Wipe, I think it is. Is that it? That didn't bother me. Adam Curtis. Oh, not that one. Yeah, 2014 Wipe. Short piece by Adam Curtis for Charlie Booker's Wipe 2014 show. Yeah. That has a saying, oh dear. Right, that's the conclusion. Real Clear Politics, BBC's Adam Curtis on the contradictory vaudeville of postmodern politics. Again, it's just a continual processing from liminality to reification, and over and over and over and over. It's like, again, it's the process of making an impregnable thing or an indestructible sword, for example. How do you make the indestructible sword? You take two metals, you know, the one known for its strength, its brittleness, and the other for its flexibility, and you just hammer them together and fold them over and hammer and fold and hammer and fold 1,000 times, and then you have the unbreakable sword. Speaking of metallurgy and Genesis and that counterfeit Enoch and Lamech, Genesis 4 says, well, some interesting things about that. I'll mention that when we come back. Stick around. I'll be right back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Welcome back. Chris, you know, you're speaking to the very fear and terrifying people with, you know, information that would seem to contribute to what you're talking about, you know, terrifying people and, you know, playing into this state of being, you know, a suggestible state and a state of, you know, where you can be influenced and all of that. No, I'm just saying we should get wise to what's going on and not subject ourselves continually you know, just offer ourselves up. The Bible says we're supposed to offer ourselves up a living sacrifice to God, and we keep sort of doing that, you know, with all of this other stuff, television, social media, etc., knowing that it's harmful. I just can't stop. What are we, bugs? Don't go to the light. Speaking of an inconvenient history, just to finish the thought on Genesis chapter 4. So you have the, I would say, counterfeit, you know, Cain. So Genesis 4:17, Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch. This is a different Enoch. Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch, and he built a city. Isn't that interesting? Immediately, he builds a city. I call the name of the city Enoch, after the name of his son. Cain, that is. Built a city, named it after his son. Now to Enoch was born Irad. Irad became the father of Mehujael. Mehujael became the father of Methushael. Methushael became the father of Lamech. So there's Enoch and Lamech. That's a counterfeit of what happens, you know, the generations of from Adam to Noah that you read about in the next chapter, Genesis 5. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah. There are similarities in the names. Isn't that interesting? You know, for example, Methushael and Methuselah. Enoch and Lamech, obviously. What's going on there? Cain killed his brother. That sounds like violence, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like violence? Anyway, continuing Genesis chapter 4, verse 19. Lamech took to himself two wives. And this seems to fly in the face of what you read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. Well, verse 22, the Lord God fashioned into a woman. Well, you know, backing up even. How about that? Verse 20, the man gave names to all that. I think this is amazing. Let me just back up a little bit more. To me, this is amazing. This is like kids playing with the Fisher-Price toys. And I think there is a, you know, an aspect of, you know, children basically bringing heaven to earth to us. It's interesting, you know, when you read Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it's interesting what's going on there. All of this naming and called this and spoke this, and it's pretty amazing. So verse Genesis 2:15, then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden. That's interesting. That reminds me of kids with Fisher-Price toys. To cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely. This apparently includes the tree of life. But from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Well, so first the command, then Eve is created. That's interesting. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast. And remember, you know, Genesis 2:7 says, the Lord God formed man out of the dust from the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living thing. Anyway, verse 19, out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. That's fascinating to me. Again, speaking of, you know, watching children play is pretty interesting. Little children. The man gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So God fashions out of the dust of the ground Adam. And then all of these other things, all of these other, you know, everything with the breath of life in it. And then, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Then God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And then we read, you know, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So the naming stuff is interesting. And you know, speaking of back to Genesis 4:19, Lamech took to himself two wives. This seems to fly in the face of bone of my bones, flesh of my bones. How many ribs did Lamech have? She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Singular. You know, and for those who doubt, you fast forward to the New Testament and the bishops and deacons and whatever, you know, the overseers of the flock are supposed to be, you know, modest, moderate, prudent, not given to, you know, the spirits, wine and so forth, not pugilistic, et cetera, et cetera. The husband of one wife, specifically. So anyway, Lamech took to himself two wives. The name of the one was Ada, the name of the other, Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of those who play the lyre and pipe. The Pied Piper, you know, Pan. As for Zillah, she gave birth to Tubal-Cain, the forger of all implements of bronze and iron. Interesting. So somehow it seems this technology survived the flood. How did that happen? Anyway, speaking of, you know, Cain and Abel and the violence killing one's brother, what was going on in Genesis 6 that was so bad? Genesis 6:5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Skipping forward, Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God. What was wrong? And the earth was filled with violence. Filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. So, violence. And what do we see in today's Nietzschean age in the West? You gotta get them before they get you. Apparently, that's kind of the message, isn't it? And if you're watching any of the Taylor Sheridan stuff, it's certainly the message. Kill or be killed. In a sociopathic fashion, we got to protect our own. It's a very tribal mentality. It's a very blunted, stilted kind of mindset. But again, this is liminality meets reification. Speaking of the control deal, the Bill Gates thing, lest we forget, let's play that real quick. Can we play that, Bill Gates?
Welcome to Zero. I'm Akshat Rathi.
Oh, no.
This
we got to skip forward.
Innovation, the U.S.
1840 mark, 18 minute 40 second to 1925. Maybe it's because it does that funky thing when you try to play it at the beginning. It's probably what happened. If we can do that, 18 minutes, 40 seconds. It's a tricky little thing.
Enough food. The water's not disappearing. The minerals are not disappearing. It's not a Malthusian situation. In fact, other than the continent of Africa, we're actually in population decline. We reached so-called peak baby in the last decade. The only reason we have population growth is not that we have more babies, it's just that lifespans are longer. So there's not like some equation, like some, you know, plan B, it can't possibly work type thing. That's not a problem.
So there are four ways to cut emissions through government policy. One, you tax emissions. You can put a price on carbon or have a cap and trade system to mandate emissions reduction. So you write some regulations that will force companies to emit less. Three.
Are we still going? There must be something wrong with that. Can we keep going for a second?
Three, reduce fossil fuel production, where you just shut down oil and gas facilities. Four, subsidize what you want, throwing money at the problem, like tax credits and other subsidies that make green things cheaper.
I apologize. Wrong. So the point here is the operative quote. Where is that? How did he put it? I guess we'll come back to that. Too many moving parts. We need to rein this mess in. So back to the inconvenient history, just to conclude that, we'll sort of wrap this stuff up before we run out of time. The meditation deal, the 44-minute mark of the Inconvenient History video. Let's do that real quick, about a minute of that, please.
Christians by saying astrology predates it. And while it does predate the organized religion called Christianity, it does not predate Christ and the Creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ and God did not begin with organized Christianity. The Creator predates creation. One last word of caution regarding the popular New Age practice, meditation. When done as a group, this can be extremely dangerous. Meditation puts you into an alpha state or a flat state. If you spend an hour to an hour and a half a day in meditation, after a few weeks, there is a great probability that you will not return to full beta consciousness. The more you meditate, the flatter your mind becomes, until thought ceases. According to the Psychonaut Field Manual, this biologically flat state is referred to as gnosis. Brother men in their use of the New Age had no plans to violently destroy the church, but to silently overthrow it. New Age writer William Thompson states, "This new spirituality does not reject the earlier patterns of the great universal religions. Priest and church will not disappear. They will not be forced out of existence in the New Age. They will be absorbed into the existence of the New Age."
Christianity has systematically been assassinated and replaced by this other stuff. You know, one of the things she mentions is the externalization of the hierarchy. And I've read from that where Alice Bailey or, you know, whatever, through Alice Bailey, says that's what's happening through school, through church. You see that. These, you know, the commingling of things. Again, this is the process of liminality meets reification over and over and over and over and over. Whoops. Whoops. So, this is the process at work. And this thing that we call church today in America, by and large, not church. God is not in it. The God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, is not in. You know, it's interesting. If I'm just out to lunch and I am whistling Dixie, you're so crazy, Chris. Listen to the things you say. Then why in the seven letters to seven churches in the opening chapters of the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3 in particular, obviously, why in Revelation 3:14 is Jesus saying himself, Jesus himself is saying to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write, the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. Is that America today? Are we lukewarm? Do we commingle cold and hot? Are we all about the dialectical combining of things? I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Is that America? We've become rich. We're wealthy. We have need of nothing. We have need of nothing. Don't worry. The nanny state will take care of that. Jesus says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself. That's, I think, metaphoric. In both cases, you know, Proverbs for the gold and Revelation for the white garments. What are the white garments? So that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes. You know, imposter syndrome, when you feel like, oh, I'm a fraud, somebody's going to find out. Maybe these people are frauds and they don't know it. Your nakedness will be exposed, your inadequacy and your ineptitude. So clothe yourself. The shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. And then this is what I'm talking about. If I'm out to lunch, then why does Jesus say to the church, he says to those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, and as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So why is he standing outside? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. To me, that's a picture of the church in America. For years, decades, the mission field in the world has been the American church system. And if you're the devil, I mean, isn't that the place where you start? Anyway, meditation is part of this. As you heard her say, unless you're meditating on God, biblically speaking, it's back to the alpha state. You know, and again, Gary Kaw and others have written about this. This is not by accident that we hear these kinds of things. You meditate. Probably not returning to a beta state of consciousness, staying in alpha, flatter and flatter the mind becomes until you are an automaton. What a coincidence. All right, final bit here just to get these all packed in. You know, speaking of liminality in this process of rebirth, you know, from liminality to reification, back to the video, the characteristics of an initiation ritual. That real quick, if we can do that, please.
Fear that we have, the anxiety that we have, that's not just going to go away. Trauma is another aspect of this kind of initiation, and most especially to personalize the fear of death.
People are dying, and nearly 6,000 Americans have died.
Sometimes the act of dying is even ceremonially role-played. The dark beyond the darkness. The yawning abyss.
Oh.
I thought I was going to die, and I've never been faced with death before.
Only after death is confronted can the initiate be symbolically resurrected, reborn anew.
To go to sleep in one world and wake up in another.
While the process that is playing out is quite coordinated and sophisticated in reality, it may be executed in a purposefully confusing manner.
Thanks for joining us. I know we're surrounded by uncertainty. It feels like everything is changing.
So that the goalposts seem to keep moving back and forth, up and down, here, now, there, rendering the initiate unable to find solid mental ground from which to make logical sense of anything.
We're trying to figure out how to do this every week because everything changes constantly.
This disorientation is key. The uncertain timing generates a general anxiety, further removing the initiate from reality and leaving him or her more susceptible to a type of Pavlovian conditioning. This weakens the defenses just as a virus would, only this has the potential to break down the individual much more completely than a virus would.
I know we're surrounded by uncertainty.
Whatever the finer details, the previous way of life is shed like an old skin. At the end that comes before the beginning, the change begins. This is the second phase, the transition.
It's liminal time or liminal space. The word liminal literally means a threshold, that we're on a threshold of a new time, a new way of doing things in our society, that there's going to be some transformation.
As the old self symbolically dies and passes away, the initiate descends into a state of liminality. A sort of fever dream purgatory nowhere land, the void in the middle. Thus, the old self dies as the initiate is purified. Now, a white room, a blank canvas washed and primed and desperate for paint, a tabula rasa. At the same time his old existence and way of life dies, the initiate transcending it is gradually being processed, reprogrammed, and incorporated into his or her new environment.
Because this is going to be
there you go. Final note. Well, that's it. I hope that made some sense. Seemed like, you know, incoherent rambling to me anyway, to an extent, but it's not. Do not submit yourself to these things and resist the technocratic tyranny. Not in a weird sort of way, but, you know, like Nikki Rapana said, do not submit yourself to the dialectic, basically. Outside the dialectic. Simple example, you know, when I think of the stuff going on with Jordan Peterson, the answer is what John and Peter said. Whether it's right to obey God or you decide. As for us, we can't stop talking about what we heard. Outside the dialectic. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee. And after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good. And every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee. So I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.